Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Noises. I want to have one on deck.
You don't even know what that means.
It's a sports thing, right?
No, it's about pirates. Which is also a sports team.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 72 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
My name is?
Well, you're Cole.
And you're Chris?
Yes.
And we're here to entertain your asses?
Yes.
And we're going to start right about now. Hey, Chris, do you have a story for me?
Yes.
Okay, can you say it for me?
Sure, let's just get right to it. This is going to be wordy and verbose, so bear with me and hang on.
I appreciate all these things.
A bill to prohibit sex offenders from being placed in Iowa nursing homes has erupted into a heated debate when Republicans accuse Democrats of allowing rapists to continue living next to grandmas. The proposal comes on the heels of state officials' removal of an 83-year-old sex offender after he was identified as a suspect in the sexual assault of an elderly woman. Republicans argued, this is partisan, of course, because grandma rape is partisan. You know, there's one side and then there's the other as far as grandma rape goes. There's an R and a D in that one. But the Republicans have argued that the amendment would allow sex offenders to continue to live next to other residents without notification, while Democrats say their amendment keeps sex offenders out of the facilities and notifications are not necessary. And here's where it gets really kind of sticky, because there's quotes and dialogue from the floor debate.
Okay.
All right. Sean Hammerlick, who's a Republican from Davenport, Iowa, is quoted as saying on the floor, "I just ask you the question, and you just acknowledged that you allow rapists next to grandmothers." To which Senate Majority Leader Michael Gronstal, Democrat, responded, "You convinced most of the Republican senators, all but three who were absent, to let sexually violent predators into nursing homes next to your grandparents and your great-grandparents and somehow refer to that as leadership."
Chris,
shit got personal. Next to your grandparents.
And your grandma was raped because of you.
My grandma was raped. My great-great-grandma was raped by the Democrats.
And on and back through the annals of history.
By
Adam
the Senate Majority Leader, Michael Gronstal. God.
Chris.
Democrat from Rapington.
Chris, I am as political of a person as could be, okay? I try not to talk about it. I try not to, you know, put it in front of everybody's face.
You try not to bump the table.
I try not to bump the table. I try not to shake my drink. However, I try not to, like, put it in people's faces, okay? I'm going to set this drink down while I make this point because I'm going to gesticulate a little bit. Why does everything have to be so fucking partisan that we disagree about something as fundamentally wrong as grandma rape?
I don't know.
Is this an issue?
I think this is the most that we've ever said rape that you were okay with.
I'm usually
like rapey, rape, 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 rape. And you're like, next story.
And I'm like, beep, 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 drawing. Sometimes I throw a spring in there to make it funny.
Grandma rape is apparently an
issue. Grandma rape, it's okay. You know, they're hardly people after they get above 70. But no.
You call this leadership.
You call this leadership that you would let my great grandmother be entered forcefully. No, the rape isn't funny. It's not funny at all. However, what I'm saying is, like, what does it say about our times that there are two people who are saying exactly the same thing?
I don't know. All I can tell you is that senile penetration and penile penetration are very...
way too different things. One letter apart.
Very different.
Super different apart.
So the same.
Oh my God, I cannot wait until I'm old. I cannot wait until
I'm old and can reap.
I can't wait until I'm so old that like I'm not responsible for my actions.
Oh, that'll be neat.
Because like I wasted all that opportunity when I was too young to be responsible for my actions. And so like I'm old and I can like flick off little kids and I can say racist shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine us doing this podcast when we're 70 and 75 respectively?
I have.
I just want to say.
And then I wrote a note.
Episode 900 is going to be fucking crazy.
Well, it's not going to be that long from now, actually.
Well, we're going to degenerate pretty rapidly.
Yeah, probably.
You know, in all likelihood.
You get tired from dragging that liver around.
Oh, man. Hey, Chris. What will prostitution look like in the year 2050?
I don't know. What will it look like, Cole?
According to the latest research paper titled Robots, Men, and Sex Tourism, brothels in the future will be modern and gleaming. This is, quote, modern and gleaming, with about 100 scantily clad blondes and brunettes parading around in exotic G-strings and lingerie. Clients will pay $9,500 for an, quote, all-inclusive service featuring lap dances and intercourse from a range of sexual gods and goddesses of different ethnicity, body shapes, ages, languages, and sexual features. Quote, all androids are made of bacteria-resistant fiber, guaranteeing no sexually transmitted diseases are transferred between customers. Quote, clients feel guilt-free as they actually haven't had sex with a real person and therefore don't have to lie to their partner. Notice that entire story was all quotes from this article, from this academic paper.
His wife, Judy. He doesn't feel bad either.
His boy, Elroy, which he didn't have because he was having sex with a robot.
I don't know.
That puts Rosie the Maid in a whole new fucking light, don't it?
Yeah. Kind of gives her a stronger role in my fantasy.
She was boxy, right?
So we're going to bang sterile robots.
Chris, in our lifetime, honestly, I mean, so what? I'm 24 right now. 2050 is roughly, what, 38 years from now? Yeah? Yeah? 38 years from now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in our lifetime, I could just be running amok, among some alien poon.
Yeah, science fiction. But you know what?
Some alien poontron, Chris. Some alien poontron.
Poontron. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with the poontron?
I'm going to run amok upon.
I'm gonna
some run. Alien
I'm
poontron.
Gonna. I'm gonna put some muck on the poontron. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, I know I asked you, but then I answered.
But then you answered in a really funny way. So so it made it all okay.
Dump my muck on the poontron.
but Chris, they're going to be made of bacteria and viral-resistant fibers.
Somebody's going to have to mop that muck, though.
Somebody's going to have to go in and clean these women out on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know what?
Clean them out.
Clean these fembots out.
Yeah.
Chris, robosexualism.
What are you going to do? Oh, well. Can I tell you a story about a guy?
Can I not shake this? Can I not shake this iced beverage?
You're going to hate yourself for editing this.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to tell you a story about a guy named Joseph Pointer, who's 51, and he's been arrested and charged with grand theft. What did he steal? Not going to tell you.
Why not me?
No. Pointer stole a woman.
He picked up a woman and he took her to a place.
No,
that would be called kidnapping.
I didn't know how to write this because there's a lot of apostrophes here. There's a lot of possessives.
Okay.
So I'm going to say he took the cremated remains
of
a woman who was the sister of his ex-girlfriend. Do you follow?
Okay,
so
he took the cremated remains of the woman who was the sister of his ex-girlfriend.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. So he took his...
So he's living with his ex-girlfriend for a period of time. And while he was living with her, he was like yoink with the sister's cremated remains.
He developed a spiritual connection with the cremains of his...
Of his potential sister-in-law,
yes. Should she have been alive, yes. And should he have married this person that he took the remains from?
Yes.
Okay.
So, then he was spotted driving up the street after stealing them by the ex-girlfriend's mother.
Okay.
So, he is spotted by the ex-girlfriend's mother driving up the street, and the ex-girlfriend's mother knows that her daughter's cremated remains have been stolen by... this guy named Joseph Pointer, right? Who's driving up the street.
Okay.
And then he flaunts it. And she says that Pointer drove by her home and shouted, "I've got your dead daughter's ashes and I'm going to snort them."
Chris, the ninth level of hell, you know, the frozen center where Lucifer himself gnawed upon... Cassius and what was his name? Brutus?
Tay, yep.
Yep. That was dedicated, Chris, to treachery, okay? That and the eighth level, which was the city of Malebolge, which was also the home of the treacherous. But the most treacherous of treacherous were delegated to the ninth level of hell, per Dante Alighieri, okay? Yeah. This person, he came clean. You know what? He drove by that person. He could have given them a phone call. He could have written a letter. But he at least let them know what I intend to do with the corpse of your daughter.
When did he bang Rosario Dawson?
No, don't you mean, what's her name?
Kevin Smith, ref. Blammo.
Blammo. No, that was Clerks 2. No, you're talking about Selma Hayek, who was the muse in Dogma, which was the worst movie fucking ever.
Dante.
Dante? Okay.
Gotcha.
I gotcha. Yep. Okay. Nope. No, you turned it back on me. You turned it back on me.
I took it and turned it.
No, ever since... You took it and turned about four movies down the line? No.
Three quarter.
Ever since I said that maturity in America means realizing Kevin Smith isn't funny, you've meant to turn that on its tail on me every single time.
And you laugh.
You've held a fucking grudge ever since.
I'm angry with you.
So angry.
I'm grudgy.
So angry. I'm going to take...
I'm pudgy. I'm grudgy while being pudgy.
I'm prudgy, Chris. I'm prudgy. I'm holding a prudge against you.
Judge my grudginess as only by my pudginess.
Chris, it's like the Greek gods, you know?
No. I don't.
No, it was the idea that you were...
I was saying, no, don't tell me about it. No, I know.
Instead of wait, don't tell me, it's no, don't tell me.
No, Cole, don't talk. That's the name of the podcast. New name of the podcast is no, Cole, don't talk.
I'll just mute my track now. No, Cole, don't talk.
No, Cole, don't talk.
God damn it.
No, Cole. It's not important.
It's not. It's soup's not important.
Yeah. I mean, which also is like the spinoff podcast, No, Cole, don't listen.
No, Cole, please go into the other room.
Where we talk about all the reasons why we don't want Cole to talk.
Let's not have Cole in this room with us. Chris, the U.S. Forest Service near Colorado's Conundrum Hot Springs have quite a pickle to unravel. A cabin near the hot springs is full of 6 dozen cow corpses, frozen solid, the remnants of animals who fled late March snows into the warmth of the cabins, only to find out that they were too stupid to escape.
Yo, Adrian, what do you do with these cows? I'm gonna punch them until they fucking fall out, you know?
It's imperative that the cows be removed before the thaw. Because
removed. You said that. You meant to put a V on the end.
I did not think you'd catch me.
Did you write that?
I love that. I loved writing that. because their decomposing bodies could pollute the hot springs. Proposed plans for removing the cows include helicopters and explosives.
No way.
They brought Bruce Willis in to consult because that is a fucking diehard plot.
Diehard plot?
It is a diehard plot. You got fucking Alan Rickman up there with a scale model of a city saying, now we're going to blow up all of this cow. It's a diehard plot. Get rid of them. Blow them up. It doesn't matter. Why are you trying to save a cabin? A cabin takes sense upon the scent to blow up. and rebuild. It's just wood. You got mountains and wood. Sense upon sense.
Sentience.
Sentient sense.
Sentient sense.
Sentient sense of the sense of scent.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Helicopters.
Helicopters.
Helicopter women.
Helicopter parents?
No, helicopter women.
Helicopter moms?
Yeah, helicopter women.
Helicopter dads?
Helicopter women and moms. Women and mommies. A study of mobile phones calls suggests that women call their spouse more than any other person. That changes as their daughters or sons become old enough to have children, after which they become the most important person in their lives. It also shows that men call their spouse most often during the first 7 years of their relationship. They then shift their focus to other friends. The results come from a proper analysis, okay? This is a real study.
They did it up
right. A proper analysis of the text and mobile phone calls of 3 million people.
What?
Yeah.
I think that's the most respectably sized study we've ever done in this goddamn podcast.
Of the 7 people studied.
Of the
3
of the
million
two respondents,
people.
3 million goddamn folks.
3 million ladies. Have all proven to be overbearing to someone. Helicopter women. bringing in the wounded. Shit you don't want to see or talk about.
Radar Riley's calling that shit in.
We got some concern about how late you are. A lot of
some crazy rolling in.
You better hope I fucking catch that in editing.
Marker.
but, no, that's really interesting though, because okay, let me summarize for people who weren't listening.
Let me pause while I make it interesting.
Let me pause while I recontextualize this in a way that doesn't make it sound fucking asinine. No. Okay, so they call their husbands the most until they have kids who are of childbearing age.
And then their husband's like, whew,
boy, I can go and play golf and drink scotch and bang
robot horse. Cheers.
There we go. Okay, no, so what this means, like, I think the implication here and what the researchers are not bold enough to assert is all of this overbearingness, all of this hovering, all of this is to protect the gene line, okay? Because it's like, hey, husband, you, who is the bearer of the seed, who is going to carry on our legacy, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we have a kid, not quite sure, probably going to split the time between the both of them. What? No, my kid's going to have a kid? Okay, there we go. That is the lineage. That is the protection of the matron throughout the ages. Just watching over and making sure that everybody's doing okay. Are you home on time, Chris? Are you home on time? Are you home on time, Cole? Better not stay out. Be careful.
We have to kill Mom.
Oh, shit. I love you, Mom. I love you so much. But please don't take it personally. Please don't take it personally. We have to buck science.
Don't take this murder personally.
Science is killing you. Science is so out to get you. I recommend you run as fast as possible, please. Chris, in prison, it's difficult to communicate in a way that won't get you caught by the guards. So, inevitably, codes arise. New Mexico prisoners, however, are becoming paleolinguists in order to pass their messages from cell to cell. Inmates have taken to speaking the language of the ancient Aztecs in order to outwit the guards. So far, the practice has become so widespread that it has resulted in successful orders of violence in the streets outside the prison.
So they're talking like
it's like wind native. It's like wind talkers, but without Indians or Nicolas Cage, but with Aztecs. They're like Quetzalcoatl, and then somebody dies.
So the wind talkers. But this is in Mexican prison, you said?
New Mexico.
Oh, in American prisons.
Yes, American prisons. Speaking the Aztec language.
Well, good on them.
Good on them. I mean, it's difficult, you know?
You can do anything.
It's resourcefulness, right?
Seriously, it taps on the bars. They don't have bars anymore, do they?
In prisons?
Yes. Yeah. Steel doors and cinder blocks and things like that.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about like beverages.
Steel bars? Is that a name of a drink?
Yeah, no, it is Jameson, and it is some filings from a rusted shingle.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Some OJ, Hypnotic, and some Jameson.
What's Hypnotic?
Hypnotic? I don't know. It's like a passion fruit blue. It's like glowing blue liqueur.
I thought it was Hennessy.
No, you put Hypnotic in Hennessy and you make the Incredible Hulk.
I know that you can get
a green monster.
I know that you can get you can get Hypnotic flavored cigarillos at certain bodegas. At least they had them at my place in Clifton here in Cincinnati. They had Hypnotic flavored cigarillos.
That's crazy, dude.
I know. I never got one because I figured it was
just throw them out in the middle of the street and watch black girls rip their dreads out.
I'm drunk enough to allow it.
Passable.
Hey, Chris.
But hey, I'm gonna go. I'm just gonna roll with it. I'm gonna roll right into that. Okay. Michigan's newest museum displays a range from the ordinary, such as simple ashtrays and fishing lures, to the grotesque, a full-size replica of a lynching tree. But all are united by a common theme. They are steeped in racism so intense that it makes visitors cringe. That's the idea behind the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia.
What?
Which says it has amassed the nation's largest public collection of artifacts spanning the segregation era from Reconstruction until the Civil Rights Movement and beyond. The displays are startling. The N-word is prevalent throughout, and many items portray black men as lazy, violent, and inarticulate, while black women are shown as kerchief-wearing mammies who are sexually charged Jezebels. Some of the objects in the museum are centuries old, while others are as recently made as this year. One t-shirt on the display reads, "Any white guy, 2012. Another shirt says, "Obama 08 is accompanied by a cartoon monkey holding a banana. A mouse pad shows a robe-wearing Ku Klux Klan member chasing an Obama character above the words, "Run, Obama, run."
A mouse pad.
A mouse pad.
A mouse pad. Something that hasn't been necessary since 1998.
Mouse pad.
Mouse pad.
Mouse pad.
Bulk pad. No. I see, like when you began that story, Chris, yeah. I was about ready to be like, well, no, I mean, this stuff, like, I mean, for as reprehensible as it is, it has a place because it's a part of our heritage,
like,
and
it's like
a part of our history. Like, it's a reminder of how awful humans can be to other humans just because they look different. And I was about ready to defend it and be like, okay, maybe this thing, like, should be there because it doesn't celebrate it, but
no,
because it raises
be.
Awareness of it,
it
you
should
know,
be.
But like, the stuff that you mentioned, like, makes me, like, fucking kind of
well,
want to
no.
die.
The sensationalist stuff that I mentioned is in the article because they want people to read the article.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the museum creator and curator is a black dude. He's like a recent college graduate who...
Okay.
You know what I mean? He's, like, put together all this stuff. And the reason that I picked it is because it was like, wow, you know, that portray black men as lazy, violent, and inarticulate. And black women shown as kerchief-wearing mammies.
See, that's the second time you said that same sentence in, like, the same episode.
Sexually charged Jezebels.
Okay. I wanted to cut you off before you said that.
Yeah. No, I just thought that was interesting because...
Why?
I agree.
No.
Wait, no. No, I don't. Stop. I don't agree. I mean... Here's a mouse pad. I don't.
Here's a mouse pad that... Here's a mouse pad that outlines my beliefs.
Yes.
So...
Run.
Run as fast as you can, please.
There's a helicopter woman coming. It's just, it's okay. That's this episode. We're all right.
As long as we reference
that's
something.
Our little oral surgery, we're okay.
We're okay. No.
You know, I must go, mommy.
No, I was... I was all about to be like, well, no, we should, you know, the same reason people study the Civil War.
No, we have to stop them so they don't rape grandma.
Chris, stop taking those
callbacks. She's Chris, dead. Don't Chris, snort her ass.
Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
That's episode number 72.
I was all about ready to defend this, but I got much more defensive as we went on.
But it's okay, because they're Jezebel mammies.
Jesus Christ, Chris, stop it.
What?
Speaking of racists.
Speaking of racist grandma rape, quote, we're having a tea parody. Tea party. Is a large sculpture of Sarah Palin's head that also serves as a small stove. The sculpture has been on tour around the country and made appearances in several galleries, but Governor Palin hasn't herself attended any of them. However, it will shortly serve its ultimate purpose, to roast a suckling pig as smoke from the pyre escapes from Palin's signature hair bun and light from the flames escapes from her eyes. This artist has also created several nude and erotic photos of Sarah Palin, one of her holding a rifle and a bloody...
some very functional nude and erotic appliances that cook pizza in the shape of Sarah Palin's bosom.
A nude and erotic Sarah Palin pizza oven.
Sarah Palin booby oven.
Her eyes glow with the northern lights as her arms hold up a bloody polar bear skin, and her insides cook a pizza to a very brick oven-like charred cornmeal.
Hey, the bun meal. The bun that cooks in that oven, nobody wants.
You're referring to Trig Palin.
I'm referring to Downs Kids.
Do you know the story behind Trig's name?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
No. Here's the story, and here's how fucked up Sarah Palin is.
Where did this come from? Liberal blog?
No, I'm repeating this from the Something Awful forums.
Okay. So that's fact.
Okay. So this is fact. Okay. Something Awful, I love you. If you're listening from the Something Awful forums, you're the greatest person in the entire world. No, but they named the kid Trig because it was born with Down syndrome, okay, which is trisomy G, which is the duplication of the extra 21st chromosome. 23rd chromosome.
Tromosome.
Okay. Chromosome.
Isotope. Tropotope.
The 23rd tropotope.
Tropotope.
Okay. Yep. The 23rd TV tropes.
Yeah.
However.
Which reminds you to shred your frogs.
Exactly.
Last episode.
Last episode callback if you're listening and you're a longtime fan. No. So nurses, you know, just in referring to somebody who has trisomy G, which is the technical name for somebody who has Down syndrome, you know, and God bless each and every one of them because they, you know, have a difficult life ahead of them. They refer to them as trig babies, you know, as opposed to saying, you know, trisomy
G. I don't know why
G.
you need to refer to a baby as a trig baby or as a Downs baby. I don't know why. I mean,
they're all fucking stupid until grow up and have potential as humans.
People say, hey, listen, it's Downs. You can smell it as you walk in because it's Downy Fresh.
I was going to put down a marker, but I won't. I'll just drink some of my Shiner box.
The morning fresh smell of dew on a disabled person.
I don't want to die. I just want to ride my motorcycle.
Oh, jeez.
No. So they heard her calling the baby, you know, a trig baby, you know, trisomy G, etc. It's like, oh, that's a really fun name because my previous kids' names are Trig, Track, Sprig, you know, all that. So yeah, let's call him Trig. Why not? So they're
dig,
essentially
dag sandwich.
Dig Dug. Remember kid Dig Dug? You dig, know, pole position.
Dig Dug Dang Dog. Bleep. So, that was one of them too.
That was one of them.
So I swallowed all that jizz and I went, and then I knew I was pregnant.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a mouth, baby. So yeah, that's where the name Trig came from, because they heard the name, it was a miracle from God and whatever.
Yeah,
we shouldn't have aborted it.
You would never know. Hey man,
now you're really living. That's some
Yule
song.
Sri Lanka.
It's a beautiful country.
Sri Lanka,
beautiful country.
A hen in that country gave birth to a chick without an egg. Instead of passing out of the hen's body and being incubated outside, the egg was incubated in the hen for 21 days and then hatched while inside. The chick is fully formed and healthy, although the mother has died. A postmortem conducted on the hen's body concluded that it died of internal wounds. from this fucking fully formed chick baby clawing on its way out of the mama's cloaca.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
That one. Yeah. So that brings up the question.
Okay.
The chicken?
That brings up the question, are we fucked? Dolphins, sprouting thumbs, turtles, sprouting intellects.
Where was that at? Where was that at? That all those dolphins, like 800 dolphins, have washed up on...
On shore like the, with legs and started walking around and being dead. Like in sort of forming accounting firms?
And porpoise.
Porpoise.
Okay. That's a hat.
Don't leap over the fucking table, Chris. I'm like, right here, I've got a beer.
You're like Mr. Plural.
Shinerbach.
God, I wish I could punch you with a handful of dice.
I can get you a fucking D20. I got my D&D gear right in the other room.
I meant to say I wish I could punch you with a handful of die.
I don't even remember what the story is.
Yeah, the hen and the egg and the chicken and whatever. The chicken butt.
No, it was the chicken first because the chicken had to...
Like O.J. Simpson and Naked Gun. part Nicole.
He was famous before he was a murderer. So,
Leslie Nielsen hit the watch button and then OJ killed his wife.
Oh no. Oh, we should have seen the warning signs. Speaking of different kinds of chicken, Chris, Kung Pao chicken, General Tso's chicken, any of that kind of stuff?
Chicken of war.
Generals gathered in the masses. Just like witches and black masses.
Kung Pao chicken always smashing.
Poultry of taste most satisfactory. Okay.
Duck sauce.
English is the phenomenon of poorly translated Asian languages resulting in hilarious English phrases. This is more apparent than it is. This is no more apparent than it is in Chinese cuisine, which can range from cowboy leg to red burned lion head to strange flavored noodles, blow up fish with no result, and hand shredded ass meat. Hand shredded ass meat.
Hey, good on you for condensing that article down, because I saw that and it was so long.
However,
the only nugget was the ass meat, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of words to get to ass meat.
The only thing and that I care about I is ass meat in general. Just like,
but I didn't. I didn't think it was worth the work. But I'm glad you did it.
It took me a long fucking time. Yeah. We were eating dinner. We were eating our steak and our noodles.
I wasn't putting that much effort into this.
Yeah, I was taking it. Here's the payoff. However, the Beijing municipal government is publishing the guide called, quote, Enjoy Culinary Delights, the English translation of Chinese menus, which seeks to resolve some of this confusion and kill most of the fun.
Ho, ta, ta, ho.
Ho.
Ho. Hey, anyway.
See, it's better when you get me drunk because I'm more fun with our casual racism.
You are, very much so. You get to be like a regular Mel Gibson when you get lit. But police arrested a 50-year-old grandma who reportedly got drunk and passed out while she was babysitting her two great-grandchildren.
Baby kicking?
Yeah, baby kidding. No. While she was babysitting her two great-grandchildren. According to the arrest affidavit, the woman's granddaughter left her 1 and 2-year-old children under the grandma's care while she went to work. 4 hours later, the adult granddaughter returned to find that both of her children had soiled their diapers to the point that the diapers were falling off. They were just dragging massive steaming loads of shit across the
Who's carpet. Got a poopy diaper?
Who's got a
poopy Who's diaper? Got a poopy diaper 5 minutes ago when it fell off of you? Who's got an inflamed rash?
Who's the best kitty?
Who's got an inflamed rash upon their genitals and anuses? Who's got an inflamed rash? Who's repulsive? Who's repulsive? Who's got the worst rash? The blistering rash.
The adult granddaughter called the police, and the grandma was woken by police shining a flashlight in her face. After which, she admitted to drinking a fifth of Jim Beam. while the children were in her care. 4 hours a fifth.
I can't claim to be a person who hasn't drank a fifth in 4 hours.
I cannot claim to be a person who has drank 2/5 in the last 2 hours.
Okay. My language belies.
My kitty titting.
My kitty titting.
This grandma's kitty titting drunken.
Drunkenness. Blah. No. But Jim Beam, does that seem kind of upscale for like for a drunk grandma? I mean, somebody who's on supposedly a fixed income. You think they would be rocking
some...
She's 50.
She's a 50-year-old great-grandma.
Oh, yeah. No, that's low cat.
Yeah,
that's low class all the way around.
Yeah. There's not a lot of edumacation.
No.
And arithmetic.
Yeah, in order for that to happen,
in this area code,
everybody must have happened to have gotten drunk at age 12.
There are lots of
not
hoes
drunk
in
at
that
age 12.
Code,
lots of hoes in that area code, pregnant at age 12, just walking around. You know,
that would be 36.
Taking
12 to 12.
Yes. Okay. No, take
close.
You just
3 14-year-old ladies.
You take your newborn baby to your middle school prom, okay? The formal dance. The yeah. Sadie Hawkins. You say, hey, you know what? You got me pregnant, so I'm going to invite you to this dance.
I think it's called the Moonshine Dance in this area.
Where was this at?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't. You know where it's at based on what it is. It's
you know where
those,
it's at.
It's one of those places.
You
it's
know
one
where
of those Herdahada places.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yep. No
any,
problem.
We don't have any
Jim Beam, I guess what I'm saying is like I can barely afford fucking Makers. So Jim Beam, is that expensive? I don't
no,
know.
Nope, it's not. It's a lot less.
It's a lot less than Makers?
Yeah. It's more
why
like,
would you drink anything
like
less
Admiral.
Than Makers? Like fucking Makers is delicious. Why would you do anything less? If you were going to drink bourbon, Makers is the way to go.
I don't know. Just pour some all into a McDonald's cup.
There was a story that I turned down. There was a story that I didn't pick because it would have made me sad to say, but I'm gonna have to say it now. But since you said
I'm gonna say I didn't say I said
No, there was there was a McDonald's employee who got arrested because he was hawking loogies into a McDonald's iced tea. Do you know how much McDonald's iced tea I drink?
I'm going to say I said it's sad, said.
Quit making fun of me.
What?
You plied me with booze.
Foghorn
and
Drunkhorn.
You plied me with booze and you got me to record a podcast, okay? And now we're going to go eat onion rings. However,
now you're going to put a gray-haired wig on and I'm going to rape you.
We have to kill mom.
Why you talk like mom from Mama's Family?
No. There's a guy, he got arrested for hawking loogies into people's McDonald's iced tea. I drink a lot of McDonald's iced tea, Chris. Probably about 3 a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's a dollar. It's delicious. Get it unsweetened, or else you get diabetes, like, super quick.
Diabetes. Diabetes, I die soon. Oh, are you going to say something?
I'm going to take you somewhere, Chris. I'm going to take you somewhere, Chris. Are you ready to go on a trip? Are you ready to go on a journey, Chris? Are you ready to go on a fantastic voyage?
I'll say,
as Steve Miller. Oh, I hope you say.
To the Science Zone!
Go.
It was a simple correlation. People who were prone to migraines were also prone to... Don't drink that cold beverage too fast, Chris. Brain freeze. This fact, however, led to an increased knowledge of both phenomena. It was discovered by researchers that brain freeze is caused by cold material coming in contact with the roof of the mouth, the so-called soft palate. When it comes in contact with the roof of your mouth, it causes your blood vessels to contract and dilate rapidly, causing the brain freeze. The more the artery size changes, the more profound the pain. This revelation caused researchers to reach the following conclusion. Using drugs to control the size of the arteries in the head might reduce the severity of migraines and headaches, thus resulting in the only time when ice cream has resulted in the beneficial effect of the health of a person.
Great as usual.
Great as usual what?
Your Science Zone.
Chris, these are
facts.
What am
I supposed to say?
What are you supposed to say? You're supposed to say, like, how awesome is that?
Neato, the Candyman can. That's great.
Tell me a fucking story. I don't fucking care.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
going to
leave the fucking room. I don't care.
I hope you leave.
Fuck.
Hope you quit. Take it a year and a half. Quit.
That damn Ross kid. Fucking
yep. That damn Ross kid. Such a loser. During the 4 months that Florida drug tested all persons applying for food stamps, welfare, or unemployment, just 2.6% failed, mostly for marijuana use. Everyone who passed was reimbursed for the cost of their test, which totaled $118,140.
Resulting in a net loss for the state.
Or more than the state would have paid in benefits to those who failed. That means the program actually cost the government almost $46,000. The tests were only given from July through October of 2011, at which point the ACLU lawsuit against the state had made a judge issue a temporary injunction halting the test under the grounds that they were unconstitutional. So 3% of the deadbeats that don't want to work are high.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or not dumb enough to clean up to pass.
Not dumb enough to go down to their head shop and pick up some activated charcoal.
Some golden seal. And some vinegar water.
Why not? Let's not do a 4-day flush before. They tell you when you're going to do the fucking test. So maybe let up off the bong.
Wink, wink. Tuesday.
Wink, wink. God damn
wow,
it.
Well.
I don't know.
No, I thought that was funny.
It's funny. Like, it just
saves some money because those people who lost their job must be high. It was a union job that was governed by your Department of Transportation, which required yearly physicals and drug tests. And anytime they got injured, the workers' comp made them, you know, take a urinalysis and sometimes even a hair test to make sure that they weren't using drugs. But then you cut the budget or you moved the production of their product overseas so they couldn't work anymore, which means that, you know, the minute that they lost their job, which required multiple tests on a yearly basis, you know, they immediately ran out and said, "Woo, no job. I'm going to start doing drugs." And then you tested them and they did not do drugs. So that makes sense. So, way to go.
Why are you saying the thing that I would say about this?
Because you can't. you're out of commission. So I'm Cole now.
So you are the surrogate Cole for this episode, yeah, because I am several.
But
I am
see, I do it in a way that I think people will agree, and I hope that they will chime in. I do it in a much more pleasant tone. I'm much more of an agreeable person. I don't necessarily preach. I don't scream at you so that you feel like running.
Just because I like myself less than I like you,
see, that's not
doesn't
the
mean
see, even the tone you're using now. it's very antagonistic, and there's not a hint of a smile behind it. You can smile after you talk.
No,
but
I'm laughing the whole time, Chris. I'm
but,
laughing
but
like
you're
a fucking
not.
Loon.
You, the loon part is right. You got that down. That is under control.
This is the point that I've been trying to make
and
for
I wish
years.
People could see your eyes, because like if I was going to, you know, tattoo eyes on the back of my head, those crazy eyes would be the ones I do. But, you know, stop. Okay?
Stop what?
Just being nutso. and you know, just explain yourself, you know, with a tone that's jovial and nice, and maybe somebody will get on board and maybe they'll hop in the furnace, you know?
Hey, Chris, I need some help.
I know. You're looking jackaled.
That's it.
Bye-bye.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Cole, what can they do?
They can go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids and search for our entire backlog of episodes. Even though we talk about a lot of news stories, I'd like to think that it's somewhat evergreen, so you can download and listen to every last one of these 71 episodes that preceded this.
Told to tight to tink.
Ha da 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 da. You can also go to iTunes and subscribe to us, rate us, and review us. That helps new people find the show. You can also email us at thosedamnrosskids@duckfeed.tv or at duckfeed.tv/contact. You can check out other duckfeed.tv shows, including Watch Out for Fireballs, a retro video game show. Chris, you need to come on a Duckfeed special with everybody on the network. Also,
you
stand
only bring
under
that
the
up
don't
when you're intoxicated.
And, yep, but it's a good idea when I'm intoxicated, so I'm not going to stop doing it unless I'm not intoxicated.
When you have that look in your eye, it's a lot like Dr. Gregory House when he's lit on Vicodin.
Chris, I only
played
share,
by Hugh Laurie.
I only share two things in common with Dr. House. I walk using a cane, and I play guitar.
I don't take no shit.
No, you should come on. We should do a quarterly special, a morning zoo show, if you will.
Yeah.
And in general, you can also listen to Stan at the
Morning
Country
Petting
Riddle
Zoo.
Me This, which is a in the Morning Petting Zoo, which is a podcast about modern video games. And in general, you can continue being awesome. We love each and every one of you who have gone to facebook.com/ Those Damn Ross Kids, which is the name of this program. You can leave comments about the show. You can suggest stories for us to talk about. And most of all, if you would like to have your voice heard, most literally, you can call 419-528-TDRK, which is our voicemail line. I will take your phone call, put it on the air, and we will answer your question. Ask us personal questions. Ask us deep, dark questions, and we will answer them to the best of our abilities and to the least of our incrimination. Is there anything I forgot, Chris?
No.
No?